This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the mailbag on this Thursday, March 28th, 2024. And we are just over a week away from WrestleMania. I almost said 40 from Philadelphia. And all of you that are going, I'm very jealous. It's going to be a once in a lifetime experience, and hopefully you have good seats and you didn't break the bank to get there. And everyone is, of course, traveling safely and enjoy. You know, really just soak it in. And it looks like they're already creating the ring or setting the stage, so to speak. They're already in Philadelphia. They're already setting up. So it's here. It's here. We just have one more week of television. Obviously, SmackDown's tomorrow night, but we have another week, one more full week of the go-home shows for Raw and SmackDown, and though I'm sure they'll call it WrestleMania Raw and WrestleMania SmackDown, and I do apologize. Apparently, someone brought it to my attention that I said WrestleMania Backlash. If I said that, shame on me. Shame on me. All right, so we're going to get to the patrons' emails first, and that is one big perk of being a patron is you get your emails read up first or up front of the show, and it's guaranteed that you'll be in the mailbag, whereas if you are a non-patron, I can't guarantee it. So that's one of the benefits on top of a Discord server, on top of everything ad-free and exclusive shows as you go up in tier. So that's also available on Apple Podcasts as well if you just want to use the native app on Apple. Okay, let's get to Dana. Or I'm sorry, Dana. Deanna. Jeez. Deanna, I haven't heard from you in a while. And very short and to the point, and you say, I just want to make sure you know how happy it made me to see Cody get bloodied. Deanna, I concur 10x with that. Seeing the little soft, smiley Cody Rhodes get his ass beat to the point of blood for the first time, which I really commend WWE for, is awesome. Also, can you not see Cody still coming out and smiling next week? Getting off his bus in his suit, walking his dumb dog, and just, you know, smiling, still smiling. Everything's good. I got busted open. My skull got cracked last week. I got attacked from behind. But you know what? Gosh golly, there's a lot to smile about. I can still see it. Now, maybe they don't do it, but it's very plausible. Thanks, Deanna. And yes, I agree. All right. Let's get to Frank. And he says, I need to start off and say what a week it has been with wrestling. Ready for WrestleMania 40? Got a few things I want to say. First, I would love for Dustin Rhodes to come help Cody for night two during the Bloodline Rules. And the second question is, who would you like to see at WrestleMania 40? And who do you think will be there the next time with everybody saying WWE Podcast? Yeah. So Dustin Rhodes, I don't know his contract status with AEW. It might have expired already. I'll have to check. If that's the case, it makes sense. Makes sense Dustin would try to help Cody, because I am very much in the camp that it's going to be Bloodline Rules. Very much in the camp. Because it opens up a lot of creative possibilities. If you don't, you kind of stifle yourself, and I think that Austin's getting involved. It's possible John Cena gets involved, and maybe Dustin Rhodes gets involved, maybe Jey Uso. It could be extremely overbooked. It really could be. But if it's only a small part of the match, which that happens, I'm okay with it. And Dustin makes total sense, but depending on his contract status will depend on if he's brought in or if WWE has any interest in bringing him in. But certainly he's his brother. Why wouldn't he want to? Second question is, who would you like to see at WrestleMania 40? Well, you know, I've been very vocal about Austin. I would love to see John Cena there too. Makes sense for him to fight a feud with the Bloodline, given his history. One small thing while I remember, Solo Sikoa, somebody put a stat out. Since he beat John Cena, he has gone 0-38 in matches, including, of course, house shows and things. So if that's true, the curse of beating John Cena lives on. I mean, just ask Austin Theory. It's unbelievable. I mean, they have these guys who they want to be the future of the company beat a legend, and it's supposed to mean something and use that as a springboard to move them to the next level, and it has done anything but that. It's amazing, but sad. So I think Solo's lost a little bit of momentum since actually beating John Cena. Not to mention he hit him with 48 Samoan spikes, and that was, if that didn't destroy his voice box. I don't know what will, but nonetheless, as far as anyone else, hey, here's a name that I haven't said in a while. And it's only three letters. And you guys, I think, know based on that what I'm going to say. And that's Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I didn't say the letters, but MJF. So MJF. Now, I still believe he is with AEW. I haven't heard a whole lot on his status, but given how it ended with the Devil and that whole story with Adam Cole, and you could easily bring him back in. And I think Tony Khan said, F it, we're going to pay him whatever we need to keep him there. Now, we are seeing what AEW is like without MJF, and can they survive and have the ratings done well and all that? And generally, the answer is yeah. I think any company that thinks that, or fans that believe that there's any singular talent that is going to be the ascent or downfall of a company, I don't care who it is. We saw Austin leave the company in 03 and they worked out just fine. The Rock left, they were just fine. Hogan left, they were just fine. You know, Brock Lesnar, we saw the post-Brock Lesnar, we know what that was, and that's been fine, you know, a couple times. MJF, now it's a smaller company, it's kind of a startup in perspective of WWE, but they have been doing just fine without MJF. Is the product better with MJF? Yes. But my point bringing it back full circle is, if he's not with AEW, I think it's a small chance. Yes, I'm not predicting he'll show up at WrestleMania, but there's still a chance. It's in the universe of possibility. I'd put it at like 5%. But if he's not with AEW, I think MJF at WrestleMania would be, you talk about a pop. Ooh, I think the fans, I mean, my God, it would be deafening. So I'd love to see him show up. Do I think he's going to show up? No, I still believe AEW has him under contract. He's just getting his body right, recharging his batteries, surgery, all that. All right. So good stuff, Frank. I mean, I know that there's other names out there. Braun Strowman, we haven't seen him in a while, but trust me, there's no like, you know, movement for Braun Strowman to come back as far as the fans are concerned. There's no like push for him to come back there. The fans aren't screaming. There's no hashtags. Yeah, but it's possible he does. Now, is it possible Big E comes back? Maybe. It's possible. So there are some names floating around there, but I think those are the ones that are the most likely outside of MJF. Okay, let's continue. All right, let's get to Dino, a patron, and he's got a few points here. Dino, just FYI, love your email, appreciate it, but if you can trim it down a little bit moving forward, just because it gives everybody a chance to talk, and I don't have to usually split these mailbags into a couple parts, and that's all. I mean, I appreciate it, and I'm going to read everything that you wrote, but just in the interest of fairness to everybody, you know, we got to be a little more concise just generally, because I want to get to everybody, and I don't want to split the mailbag into two parts. So, all right, let's go, Dino. He says, hey, Matt, it's D here from Glasgow, Scotland. I've been listening to the podcast for quite some time, but this is my first email. I might be about to upgrade to the Monday Night Raw tier, but we'll see. I find myself agreeing with you on the majority of things, especially when it comes to Cody Rhodes, although leaving the dog alone because it's not the dog's fault. Well, no, it's not the dog's fault. The dog has nothing to do. He has no idea what he's doing or where he's at. I mean, the dog is obviously, you know, levels below our intelligence and has no clue what's going on. But I'm hating on Cody and management for bringing him in. The dog itself, I could care less. The dog is kind of an inanimate object, and not like that I care about as much of a pencil as I do a dog. But my point is that I'm more just disgusted with Cody and how he looks with the dog. Cody looks like a tool with the dog. It's not the dog's fault. I agree. It's not. If I came off that I'm directing at the dog, it's himself or him. It's Pharaoh, so I'd imagine it's a male dog. Anyway, I had five different points to make today, but I realized the original email was way too long, so I'm splitting it up into two different emails. I'm going to make a few points today in the next email, a couple weeks on the next mailbag. Okay, well, so you had 5 points. I already asked you to trim it down, so I can't imagine what your first email looked like. Anyway, let's go. First point, around a month or two ago, I had been calling out Alex the French guy on the Discord chat. He must have crapped himself or something as he proceeded to upgrade to the Monday Night Raw tier and stated he would only accept challenges for his European Championship from those who are subscribers to the Monday Night Raw level and above. So he better hope I don't upgrade because that title will be in jeopardy. What you gonna do when the D-Maniacs and Scots take your European Championship and run wild on you, brother? Okay, so it looks like we've got a little bit of a competition going on, and you better watch out, Alex. Apparently, D from Glasgow is on your tail. Number two, I was thinking how cool it would be for us Scots to have a Scottish heel group on the main roster. Now, I haven't thought of a name, But since we know he's a very good heel, I'm thinking Drew is the head of a group with Joe Coffey and Wolfgang from NXT as his backup. I've seen Wolfgang wrestle since his UK days, and I must say I'm impressed. He is very good in the ring. I haven't thought it through entirely, but yeah, just a thought. Let me know what you think. I'm very limited on the NXT knowledge. I do know who Wolfgang is, and I'll take your word for it. I've seen very limited when it comes to tape of him in the ring. But Drew, as the head of a group generally, I wouldn't do it right now, but it wouldn't hurt as a heel if they're going to continue with him as a heel to have a couple of backup guys. It's not always a formula that needs to be played out. You can have heels that are solo, kind of lone wolf, so to speak. No pun intended. But if you're going to help build new stars, that's what a group is for. A group is created for two reasons. A faction, a group, a team. You create them to do either build new stars to help to feud eventually with one another, or you use it to elevate the main guy to an even higher level. And the groups are usually made and customized to eventually break up. Like the purpose of a group being formed in the first place is to, by design, have them eventually break up and feud with one another and create single stars. Single stars is where the money is at. It's where the money will always be at. But I like it. Okay, third point. We in Scotland were supposed to get a Monday Night Raw about 2 or 3 years ago, and I remember buying tickets for a show, but a few months before it was changed to a house show with no explanation. I'm hoping to get a Raw or SmackDown or even a pay-per-view. Yes, we still call it a pay-per-view over here. Well, I totally agree. It should still stay pay-per-view. Here in Scotland sometime soon. We have only ever had one SmackDown and Raw, which emanated live from SSE Hydro in Glasgow, and it was back in November of 2016. If you can remember it, it was 2 weeks before the 2016 Survivor Series pay-per-view and on live SmackDown Live, which was still on Tuesdays then. Becky Lynch defended her title against Alexa Bliss by submission. By the way, guys, if you haven't seen, Alexa Bliss is back to working out, so it's possible she comes back at WrestleMania, or much more likely, probably right after WrestleMania to kickstart the WrestleMania 41 season, so to speak. Just a little side note. And Daniel Bryan announced in the final segment to close the show that he was the final participant in the men's Survivor Series team. And if I remember correctly, James Ellsworth was the manager. I don't remember any of this, I have to say. I mean, this is, 8 years ago, almost? 6, 7.5 years ago? I don't know, man. Probably. James Ellsworth was a time that a lot of us don't want to remember, when he won the women's Money in the Bank briefcase for Carmella, and there was a whole uproar about that, and rightfully so. But all right, we got to see Dean Ambrose, Shane McMahon, who, if I remember correctly, was the manager of SmackDown at the time, Bray Wyatt, Baron Corbin, and AJ Styles. Well, on Raw, that show is mostly remembered for the fans hijacking it and taking it over. I only attended the SmackDown, but I remember seeing online after UK shows were still pre-recorded at the time, that Charlotte Flair's segment on Raw lasted at least 30 minutes and had to be cut down to just a few minutes because she could not get a word in edgewise. One last thing I'd like to mention is the Scottish crowd. It's always overlooked in favor of the English when, in my opinion, Scottish crowd is far louder, way more hardcore, and just a better overall in my reaction. Back throughout the early 2000s and 2010s, the Glasgow show, which was part of the WWE UK tour, was always the first to sell out and within minutes of tickets going on sale. It has been 7.5 years, so hopefully we'll get another televised show soon. One last thing, you should absolutely go to the Raw in Brooklyn on April 1st. You can give us an in-person review, and has the potential to be one of the best Raws of 2024. Well, damn it. I keep getting pushed to go to Raw in Brooklyn. The thing, it just comes down to this, guys. Money and time. Like, I have to, and I know this is me wah about it, but it's all reality. Anytime anyone goes to a show, especially if you have a family and you have work, and like we all, most of us do, or even if you don't have kids, it's still time off of work. And like, I got a request off like a day and a half, probably 2 days of work. And it's really difficult right now for me to do. It's really busy. And also, like, you know, it's time away from home, and there's a lot going on at home. And like, And it's also a lot of money because I have to drive down, gas, hotel, you know, and then or drive back and do a red eye drive back, which is dangerous because I when, you know, at 11 o'clock at night for a 3.5 hour drive back north, that's brutal. So like, there's a lot that goes to it other than just, yeah, the experience of being there. And it would be awesome. I hope it's the crappiest show of the year. I mean, selfishly, if I'm not going, and I don't think I am, I hope it's the worst show of the year. Selfishly. But okay, so as far as this whole idea of Scotland getting a Raw or SmackDown or especially pay-per-view, yeah. I mean, how many times do we need to see international crowds put the United States crowds to shame? I mean, they bury them when it comes to reaction. And I'm sure that the wrestlers who are on these shows come out and go, man, can we just have this happen every week? Can we just be here every week? And you go back to the States and it's like, you know, 20% of what the reaction was in, say, the Dominican Republic or, you know, Puerto Rico, rather, or, you know, even over in Saudi Arabia. And like, yeah, I mean, I think it's because I don't know if you guys are more passionate, because passion's a really difficult thing to measure. I don't know how you really measure it. How do you say that my passion's deeper than yours or vice versa? Really difficult, right? But I would say that it's a lot of pent up anticipation that you guys have, and you know that this is a rare event, so you're going to be extra energized even compared to the U.S. crowds, who are kind of complacent and know that WWE comes to their town every 4 to 6 months. So it's a lot of that going on, where you guys just know that you need to get it all out because it won't be back for another 10 years. So I'm all in favor of it, but I'd bet you that if WWE were to for a significant period of time make their rounds in international markets, that the crowd would eventually, you know, quiet itself a little bit, not down to the U.S. style for the typical crowd, quote unquote. But if you're there more, it doesn't feel as special, and it's kind of common sense. But I'm all for Scotland getting. Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing against it. Absolutely. All right, let's continue. Let's talk to another patron. And this is Matt. And he says, I just wanted to get your opinion on something. Well, that's why I'm here. All right. So he says, after the press event, when The Rock smacked Cody, I said to buddies of mine that if WWE has Cody go promo for promo with The Rock, it's going to make Cody look bad. All my buddies called me crazy. However, fast forward to now, I think I was right. The Rock has been ruthless to Cody, and he responds by crying and trying to shake Roman's hand. He looks weak in my mind, and I think the IWC is starting to notice it more. I know we as Cody haters are in the minority, and I can agree that he should beat Roman. I just think people are starting to notice what you've been saying for months that I've been listening to your show. Also, how do I join the Discord server on Patreon? Can I use the app on my phone, or does it have to be from a laptop? Thanks, and have a good rest of your week. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I'll send you the link in the email for the Discord server, so thank you, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. You know, when it comes to Cody Rhodes, I have been screaming this from the rooftops for a while, and maybe the crowd will eventually turn on him. I will say this. I don't think we're going to see a Cody heel turn, an official heel turn, for at least a year. I mean, if the wheel isn't broke, don't fix it, as they say, right? If Cody's still bringing in cash and the crowds continue to support him as a babyface, you don't turn him heel. But if the fans start to turn, and I think they eventually will, then you might want to reconsider. Now, the whole deal about Cody and him being crying, he's shaking the hand of Roman, trying to be the gentleman, even though he says, well, I can respect you, but boy, sure golly, I hate your guts. As if trying to hurt the feelings of your opponent is somehow scoring points. Or do we get style points now for trying to hurt your opponent's feelings? And by the way, are you really trying to shake the hand of the guy that screwed you out of the main event of last year's WrestleMania and then beats you down and has his goons beat you down all the time? I mean, are we really going to respect a man that does that? It just looks weak. It looks weak. And look, I also know that when it comes to The Rock and Cody, you have two different guys. The crowd continues to support Cody, and I understand why. It's a weird dynamic with Cody. You can respect him, but the fact that he's just this feminine man is part of why I don't like him. And probably at the core, that's what it is. At the core, I think that's what it is. He's a soft, feminine man. The Rock is a man's man. He's a masculine man. That is just a fact. That's just a fact. I don't want to get into toxic masculinity and all that crap. Okay, I'm sure some of you are, oh, that's where he's going. I'm not going there. But I will just say this. Cody has very feminine qualities. Not all his qualities are feminine, but there's several. You want some? He dyes his hair bleach blonde. Okay, how many men are highlighting their hair in 2024? That was a fad that came and went quickly. It's a feminine. It's a typically, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know, in and of itself, but that's a feminine quality in 2024. It just is. And it just kind of is, really, no matter when. I dyed my hair at one point when I had hair. Okay, I dyed that, but that was back when the fad was hot. Cody's 20 years late, and he does get his, you can tell he gets his nails done. He doesn't get nail polish, obviously, but I looked closely at his fingers, and he does clearly get manicures and pedicures. I mean, he just does. You know, that's kind of a feminine thing. Doesn't mean that you're a feminine man per se. It's a feminine trait to get those things done. It just is. And he brings his dog and puts handkerchiefs on his dog. He's always walking around smiling, telling us he's there to make us happy, crying, trying to shake hands. It is very political. It is very much a politician type of personality. But it is also at the essence of this whole problem. I think it's just that Cody's a feminine man. He's not, he doesn't have a whole lot of edge to him. He's always trying to make peace. He's always shaking hands now with even people. Oh, well, I hate you, but gosh golly, let me shake your hand. It's weak. And the fans somehow still have not come around to this. The Rock, on the other hand, takes no S. You know, he comes out, runs down the crowd, doesn't care what anybody thinks, just beats Cody down. And sure, he did it from behind. He's a heel, whatever. Draws blood on Cody, and Cody's going to come out next week and still smile and bump fists with people backstage as he's getting off his bus, you know, arriving to Raw. I mean, maybe they'll finally have him have like some kind of mean face coming off the bus. I don't know. But he's just a feminine man, and to me, that's a turnoff. The Rock is a masculine man, but call me old-fashioned. I like men to be men and women to be women. I'm not a fan of masculine, of feminine men. I don't relate to that. That's not something I'm like, oh, wow, boy, I can connect with that. No. I think at the essence, that's really what it is that Cody's a feminine man. And if, you know, hey, if that's your deal, cool. For me, it's not. It's just not. It's not something I can connect with and look up to. Thank you. As I go off on a rant, I'll send you that link as we speak. Right now, I'm sending you that link to the Discord server, so look for that. Let's go to James from Toronto. He says, I recently became a patron, and I've loved it so far. I recently bought my tickets for Money in the Bank, and it has me thinking about the potential fallout from the PLE. I have Drew walking out as heavyweight champion, which will lead to a CM Punk and Drew program, which will lead to headline Money in the Bank. I was in Chicago for Survivor Series this past year, and I think it would be fitting to see Punk's return as well as his first match back from injury. Well, hell yeah. It lines up with his injury return schedule. Now, he could return earlier, but that seems to be right now where they're targeting. I think they're targeting Charlotte Flair and Punk around the same time. We'll see. I mean, obviously, Charlotte Flair seems to already be ready back for action, so she'll probably be back before Punk is. However, this makes total sense. And also, when it comes to CM Punk in Chicago, it's always a perfect fit. And the fact that it's possible Drew doesn't walk out as champion, well, I would say it's not. It's not even, should not be in the realm of possibility for Drew to walk out losing at WrestleMania. He should not walk out of there without the championship. It would hurt both Drew and it would hurt Seth, because Drew McIntyre, on a human being level, forget pro wrestling, forget heel babyface, he deserves this moment. He actually deserves it in real life. Now, even beyond that, I think the fans are ready for Seth Rollins to drop the belt. I think they're ready. They're not turning on Punk. They're not turning on Seth. But I think that they're looking at this and saying, yeah, hey, 10-month run, if you don't compare it to Roman Reigns, it's a solid, lengthy run by today's standards. And it's just time for Drew to have that moment, on top of the fact that Drew is very interesting as a heel character right now. And you could have CM Punk maybe have some kind of say in that match. If he's on commentary, you know somehow, some way he's going to be involved in a non-wrestling capacity by either mouthing off or maybe doing something very light physically. It's possible. Actually, it's likely. Otherwise, why would they even have him out there? So, yeah, absolutely. Punk, when he comes back, though, said he's targeting Drew. And, of course, Seth won't be far behind. This is going to be a little bit of a love triangle, I think, throughout the spring and summer. Thanks, James. Let's talk to another patron, Lupe. He says, well, what can I say? I attended Monday Night Raw here in Chicago, and what a show. The matches were few but entertaining, and we got good storytelling, and the Rock and Punk pops were massive. Honestly, it felt like an Attitude Era Raw. The crowd was wild and loud throughout the entire show. I attended SummerSlam last year, and hate to say it, but this Raw was way more entertaining and fun. Just want to let you know how not boring it was, since I asked you last week if you thought it would be Punk's scheduled... Oh, it would be with Punk's schedule to be there. I remember that, Lupe. You did ask that. And obviously, you got the complete opposite show. It did feel very Attitude Era-esque. It felt like big names, big surprise returns. It feels, you know what it feels like? It feels like WrestleMania season, which is exactly what it's been missing over the last, like, I don't know how many years with Vince in charge, how often do we kind of limp into WrestleMania? We just want to get there to get it over with. You know, very few surprises. And this feels like a Raw that was back in 2000. It does. And it was, I would agree, it was much more, even from a sitting at home perspective, more entertaining than SummerSlam. I would agree. SummerSlam, I remember looking at that going, that was not very good. And so absolutely, I agree with your comparison. And I'm jealous. That may be, and this is sad to say, the last time you see The Rock live in person. You know, I don't mean he's going to die. I mean, just he's so limited. He's not here for long. And it may be the last time. You know, so every time you see The Rock, or Punk for that matter, soak it in. All right, let's go to Charlie. And he says, Charlie, my friend, just like everybody else, trim it down, please. Please trim down your emails. It makes this such a more fluent show. All right, so everybody, please trim your emails down. If you read it back and it's more than a few minutes, it's too long. Okay, so I really do. It's not to discourage people from sending it in, but just get to your point concisely. It's a better show, and it gives everyone a chance to get on. Okay. He says, what's up, fellas and lady fellas out there? It's Charlie from Milwaukee. First, let me say I apologize for the email being so long. I wanted to give my opinion on SmackDown review. Okay, so fair. Okay, you were there in person. Fair. Were you there in person? I don't know. No, you said you are. You are in person. Okay, so you did go. So I'll let it slide on this show. All right, as usual, SmackDown was outstanding. I took my 5-year-old niece, who unfortunately is a Cody Rhodes fan. Personally, I think she does it to make me mad. To her first show, and she was smiling from the moment she walked into the arena. I saw very few kids, not only when I was walking around the arena, but when I got to my seats as well, as which absolutely surprised me. It was definitely the demographic of the 18 to 35-year-old group. That's interesting. Usually you hear, oh, families, it's a mix. Okay. Unfortunately, when I went up to the merchandise stand, not only did they give me a Pharaoh plush, but they also had a photo signed by Cody and his dog as well. I was trying to get people in line not to buy it, but unfortunately it did not work. They had a couple of CM Punk shirts, the new Roman Reigns shirt, LA Knight shirt, Bayley shirt, Cody, Crybaby shirt, which I happily bought. A couple of different Milwaukee-based shirts, but they had one shirt that made me want to jump over the counter, grab them all, throw them in the garbage. They now have put We Want Cody on a shirt. Also, they had a Brewers belt, a Packers belt, a Rock belt, an Undisputed Universal Championship belt, and the World Heavyweight belt. Without a doubt, the loudest crowd reactions of the night were for Rey Mysterio, Dominic, Roman Reigns, and Cody. What shocked me was when Bianca came out and the crowd around me was dead silent until the crowd started chanting EST, which was met by my section ending the chant with the word sucks. Interesting. Also, when Bianca was getting beaten up, people around me, including myself, went nuts. I did get into Cody's entrance, but once it was done, I went right back to reality. What shocked me was what split the crowd for me was Roman and Cody. I heard a couple of die Cody die chants around my section. I don't like Cody Rhodes' character, but I mean, I don't want him to die. That's fair. Yeah, it's a little rough. And the fact that Bianca was getting booed a little bit, and that you're right, the entrance in itself is an experience. But once you see the man behind the entrance and the music shuts off, I totally agree. You go, oh, that's right. I'm with you. Now, let's see. After they had the two matches after the show, the first one they had was Kofi against Dominic. Unfortunately, I was in the minority of cheering for Dominic. Yeah, you're definitely in the minority there. The second match they had was Gunther against Jey Uso for the Intercontinental Championship. Jimmy and Solo came out after the match. Jimmy beat Jay down, and everyone's favorite knight in shining armor around and future president of the United States, Cody Rhodes, came out to save Jay, or really to save the day, because that's what they put Cody in it all the time as in a position to do. Before they all sent us home, Cody decided to give away his shoes. My God. Both he and Jay signed the shoes. All in all, not a bad show. I was upset when it got announced that Jade Cargill was fighting this coming Friday. Also, Tiffany Stratton got a nice pop, and Tiffy Time, a chant broke out for that. Anyway, have a good week and happy Easter. Hashtag Cody sucks. All right. So thank you. Thank you so much for the detail, Charlie. I appreciate it. And really cool you brought your niece. 5-year-old. So you have to how did it go with a 5-year-old? Because I'm really considering bringing my son to a SmackDown. But, you know, he goes to bed at like 7 o'clock at night. And obviously the show is 8 to 10. How did that work? Are the lights and sounds enough to keep them awake and engaged? It sounds like it. So, all right. So as far, again, hearing the crowd boo in any capacity, Cody Rhodes is always fun. But here's the deal. Your section is a small, just kind of sheltered portion of the fans. You don't hear them come across on TV. Same with Bianca fans that don't like her. Now, to Bianca's, you know, to her defense, Bianca Belair has been a background character for a while. I don't know what Jade Cargill's going to do tomorrow night. I would think that she's not going to get a one-on-one. I think she's going to join in a six-woman tag team match against Damage Control. That's probably, oh, we have a mystery partner, right? The final partner for this match, which the match isn't even official yet, but I would imagine that Jade is going to get kind of that that amount of exposure and have the workload split. So that's what I think. And thank you, Charlie. Great stuff. All right, new patron, Pedro. He says, or I'm sorry, Julio. Julio. He says, what's up, Matt? I'm a new patron. Thank you for joining. First, I want to say I enjoy your shows. I work driving a garbage truck in the city of Chicago. Well, awesome. With all the traffic and craziness I have to deal with on the daily basis, your shows have kept me sane and entertained. But anyway, not to take up too much time. So many people tell me that. Do you guys listen to me at work? Don't. I hope you're not. Are you driving the truck? You said you're driving the truck. Don't crash. Okay. I'm glad we can keep you entertained, though. That's pretty cool. You never know who the hell's listening. I always say that. You never have any idea anywhere in the world who's listening. Most people don't write in. So the people I hear from are just a small representation of the listeners. So, all right, let's move on here. Let's see. Oh, you had mentioned one time in your show that you think WWE might be listening to your shows because of the things that have occurred as of late. And honestly, I have to agree because there have been a few things I have commented on their Instagram page that have come to fruition. First, when they posted Cody winning at the Rumble and pointing at Roman, I commented on their video saying Roman should make a shirt saying the final boss because that's what he was at the time. But now you have The Rock out here calling himself the final boss. I was like, okay, cool. And then I had purchased tickets to SmackDown in Milwaukee and Raw in Chicago, hoping I get to see The Rock in one of the house shows or one of the shows because he's my all-time favorite wrestler since the Attitude Era brought back in 98. And I've never got the chance to see him live. Well, when they announced that his next return was going to Raw in Brooklyn, I was very disappointed. I wrote a comment on WWE's page saying I got tickets hoping to see The Rock and how I was bummed and he's not going to show up to either Raw or SmackDown. I'm like, bro, we've already seen CM Punk a million times already. Well, in Chicago, at least. Can I get a refund? But fast forward to this past Monday, and the Great One returns in Chicago. Man, what an experience it was. The 9-year-old me came out, and I was screaming like nobody's business. The crowd was loud and electric. To see him live in person was nothing short of amazing. That whole show was just fire from beginning to end. The crowd was into it. The wrestlers were into it. It definitely had Attitude Era vibes. Who knows? This may be the Attitude Era 2.0 in the making. As well, we'll be transitioning to Netflix next year. It was a great show, and honestly, it has me excited for WrestleMania next week. It really is a great time to be a wrestling fan. Sorry if the email's a little long. Keep up the great work you're doing for wrestling community. Well, thank you so much. And I see you have images here. I'm going to look at those. You have images, of the Instagram posts. Okay, cool. Well, good stuff, Julio. Thank you I see actually where you were standing. Where your seats were. You had pretty good seats. Man, pretty damn cool. You know, The Rock can claim he's a heel. Not by the crowd reaction, man. I mean, The Rock is a bigger babyface when he's this version of The Rock than he is as typical Dwayne Johnson playing The Rock. It's amazing. But I feel you on the 9-year-old self because I'm in the same boat, and that's what's drawing me to Brooklyn, and it keeps screaming my name. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, like, there's a lot that goes into, as everyone knows that attends an event, especially ones that's not down the street from you. You have to go to another state, another city. There's a lot of logistics that go into it, a lot of time, a lot of money, off work, family, like, right, all this. So, again, it's pulling me, and there are still tickets. So, I'm going to say I'm not going, but you know, sometimes the impulsive part of me wins. We'll see. And I think WWE generally listens to what we have to say. I'm not going to be so egotistical as to say that they have definitely listened to this show and taken the guidance and criticisms of this show directly. But sometimes it's hard to not make that connection. Now, if enough fans say the same thing, every fan that has said that thing can claim that they're listening to them. But, you know, who knows? You know that for sure with how big social media is, WWE executives and wrestlers themselves look at the comments on social media. If they say they don't, they're lying, because they do care, because their job depends on the reaction that they get from fans. That's how they make a living. So you don't think they're going to listen to the people that are controlling their paycheck in a way? Of course they are. So awesome, Julio. I am jealous. You got your moment. It was electric, and that's what I'm chasing. That's the feeling and the struggle I'm dealing with too. All right. Let's continue. Let's talk to, I see, Julio, you sent me another email, but I did, yeah, got it. Okay, moving on. So let's talk to another patron, AJ, and then we'll get to DJ Kuzmo after this, and then Callum after that. You're in the hole, Callum. DJ's on deck. Let's talk to AJ. AJ says, been a while since I wrote in last, but I wanted to ask why it feels like Roman is taking a back seat heading into WrestleMania. I didn't watch the Shield days, but every clip I see, it looks like Seth and Dean were the more entertaining ones of the group. When I started watching again a few years ago, he was champ and still didn't feel interesting. During the peak of the Bloodline, Sammy was the interesting one. Am I just missing something with Roman? I'm not a Cody fan at all, but I hope he wins at WrestleMania, because it feels like WWE has given up way too much, to make Roman a star. Which I think he is, but they present him like he's a top five ever, and I don't see that. Am I missing the point, or am I just tired of the same finish to all his matches? I respect Roman and the work he's put in, but I just don't see the appeal. Thanks for the great shows. P.S. If no one mentions it, but I like Punk trying to get Drew to say Vince's name, which I assume would have gotten him in slight trouble. Good point, AJ. Yeah, we were all waiting. Because Drew, as we know, was selected, hand-picked, cherry-picked by Vince McMahon as the quote-unquote chosen one. So having, that's a great point, you know, that no one brought up, including myself, or even thought to bring up, that Punk was trying to get Drew to say Vince McMahon's name. Because Punk asked Drew, well, wait a minute, you say that you're the chosen one. Who said that? Who said that before? You know, that's a great point. But that was also very clever by Punk. So that is also, you bring up two good points here. Obviously, the Drew point with Vince McMahon, but also the idea that Roman is a backseat passenger on this train to WrestleMania does have some truth to it. You look at how do you feel? You know, sometimes we overanalyze feelings, and feelings can come and go, and they can change, and they can, you know, they sometimes blow with the wind, right? We all know how our feelings are as human beings. But I think steadily for quite some time, the general feeling among fans, without them even knowing it and realizing it, has been Roman is a second, he's kind of a, what do they call it, a secondary character in this story. And he's the champion, who's been champion since August of 2020. And yet, he's a backseat driver to this whole thing. He doesn't feel like his character, it's true. Roman Reigns' character, and this may be actually a great topic for our next mailbag, or our next current state with Anthony, if I remember. I never remember what we're going to talk about, is why does Roman feel not as important, and why does his character feel stale? And it's because he hasn't really evolved. He ascended like with a jetpack when he became a heel, and then has kind of leveled off. And after the whole Sami Zayn debacle, it's kind of been like, Steady as she goes, not a lot of progress. His promos haven't been bad. They've been good to fine to okay. He never really cuts long form promos anyway. That's never been his strength. His matches every time he, you know, once a year, or I shouldn't be that dramatic. Every few months when he has a match, he's good to very good. But there's been no evolution. I don't even know if I'm looking for better this or better that, just something different from Roman. And that's a very good point. Like I going into this, I was hoping to really care about Roman as a character losing the belt. Fans, I just think, they're ready to get behind Cody. They respect what Roman's done, but then The Rock comes in and steals the spotlight from Roman, and it's really almost feels like Rock versus Cody instead of Rock versus Roman. It's a very interesting dynamic, but that's a hell of a point, AJ. Good stuff. Thank you. All right, DJ, let's get to it, brother. He says, this is DJ Kuzmo back at it again in the mailbag. It's official. Jade Cargill is joining the SmackDown women's roster and debuting next week. I kind of knew that she was heading to SmackDown But it's interesting that this is happening before Mania and not after. I don't think she'll wrestle at WrestleMania, but she might appear either ringside during the Bayley versus Io match or after that match. As I've said, DJ. I go from AJ to DJ. Maybe I'll go from AJ to DJ to PJ McDonough. We'll see. But I think it's still going to be Jade as a tag team partner in a, what is it, three or four woman? I think three women against, it'll be Naomi and not Bayley, because Bayley will be facing Io Sky, but Naomi and Bianca and Jade Cargill versus the three members of Damage Control that don't have a match, right? We have Kairi Sane, Asuka, and Dakota Kai. I think that's the six-woman tag team match we're going to get at WrestleMania. So Jade doesn't have a ton of pressure on her with a one-on-one match, and it also gets her on the show. You have to do something with Jade at WrestleMania in a match. It doesn't have to be one-on-one. People were thinking Jade versus Bianca. Clearly, they're not doing that this year. She debuted at the Rumble. You can't not have her compete at WrestleMania. So I think she's going to be involved in a six-woman tag team match with partners of Bianca and Naomi. All right. I enjoyed the LA Knight and AJ Styles fight outside of AJ's house, and then LA Knight getting arrested. It adds another element to this grudge feud between these guys. I can't remember the last time when WWE did a similar segment. The only other time I could remember was a wrestler invaded their home was the weird one with 2021 when Seth was at Edge's house getting comfy and looking for Beth and the kids. Oh, yeah. Just a quick side note. I miss a heel Seth Rollins. Do you think we might get a Rollins turn in 2024? It was kind of odd how he didn't help Cody during the Brock beatdown. Plus, just an opinion, his finish of the stomp looks more of a heel finish than a baby face. I agree. So it's a lot of yes here. Okay. A lot of yes, yes, yes. I think somebody said that once. That could be like on a shirt or something. I don't know. But that to me is something that is a 2024 prediction. Seth turning heel in 2024. The problem with that is, if you want the other side of the coin, is that if Cody's winning the belt and going to SmackDown, that leaves a big hole of a top babyface, and Seth would be that next guy, unless you have LA Knight come over in a trade. But I think at some point, even if it's after the shakeup, if they have another shakeup or draft in September or so, Seth could turn heel. The other argument against that is, don't you want a Seth Roman program? I mean, it lends itself to a lot of confusing pieces, even though it sounds like it's a shoo-in. I think it's probable in 2024, but they have to time it right with other programs they want Seth to be in. So, and also with Cody leaving, presumably to SmackDown. And yet it is weird that he didn't help Cody. He's been so transparent about, basically saying we're friends and saying I have your back, I can be your shield. Yeah, so much for that. And the stomp is a heel finish, but people love it. And we can't call it the curb stomp anymore, which I like curb stomp personally, but has too many negative connotations, I guess. Finally, after WrestleMania and after Seth's involvement with the Bloodline, does creative continue to continue the Drew versus Seth story since CM Punk is injured, or does Seth move on to the feud with possible new world heavyweight champion and Damian Priest? I just wish Punk didn't get injured at the Rumble, because he could have won the chamber and main evented with Seth at WrestleMania. So many moving parts, so many what ifs. With that being said, DJ Kuzmo signing off. Have a great weekend, everyone. Peace. There is a lot that happened after Punk went down. I mean, they had to reshuffle the deck. And then obviously with The Rock and Roman, that was going to be the main event. And now it's obviously Cody and it's a tag team match. You talk about changing everything in a matter of like a few weeks. It's absolutely crazy. And your question, though, since Punk is injured, or rather, does creative continue with Seth versus Drew since Punk is injured, or does Seth move on to the feud with new World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest? Well, before we even put the cart before the horse here, I mean, I don't think Damian Priest is going to win at WrestleMania. The only way Damian Priest cashes in at WrestleMania is if Seth retains. That's the only way I think it happens. I think one way or the other, there's no way Seth walks out as champion. No way. But I think Drew and Seth could have maybe another program in them. Again, they've already had, what, two world title matches in the last couple months? This will be their third. So are they going to go for a fourth at Backlash? Maybe. But if Damian Priest is floating around, there's another one, right? And then when Punk comes back, he said he's targeting Drew McIntyre. Like you said, so many moving parts. It's absurd. All right. Let's talk to one last patron, and then we'll get to some non-patrons. This is from Callum from Newcastle, Australia. He says, been a listener of the show for over 5 months, and I got to say, it's the only podcast I listen to in the UTE. I must say, I can't get enough of heel Hollywood Rock breaking through the barriers of TV, PG, and wrestling. He's added so much fuel to the road to WrestleMania. The fact that people think Seth will turn on Cody makes zero sense. Why would they then have a heel Seth take on a heel Drew the next night? That's exactly my point, Callum. The order of the matches matter. The only way that this could happen is if the world title match was first, Seth loses, he's now super frustrated going into this match, and then he loses again, and then he turns on Cody, right? That would make sense. But given the fact that Drew and Seth is the following night, you're not going to have Seth turn heel, a freshly turned Seth, go against Drew, and what are the people supposed to do? It makes no sense. Totally agree. So Seth is not, and I will repeat, not turning on Cody at WrestleMania. Okay, he may turn on him at some point, and that program still has yet to pick back up because they didn't forget, but they had three brutal matches last year before Cody got injured and had his pec torn off his body, in which Cody won all of them, and then Seth attacked him with a sledgehammer, but we're all supposed to forget that. But it's not the right time to remember it, so. Okay, I do agree with the possibility of a double turn at WrestleMania, which is why I haven't seen Alberto Del Rio and Ziggler. This email's not too long, by the way, Callum. It's just right, I have to say. You're just right. The double turn is possible. It's a difficult thing to do. It's not easy because you have to have the timing right. You have to have such confidence in what you believe the fans really want and would go with not just one but two guys, right? And it's got to also be executed to perfection to have it happen. That's why you don't see it happen a lot. It's not easy to do. The most famous one that's referred to is at WrestleMania 13 between Bret Hart and Steve Austin. That was executed perfectly. The fans were ready to support Steve as an up-and-coming star, had an edge to him, and knew felt good, felt fresh, badass brawler against this established kind of face of the company at the time, but fans had kind of gotten sick of the character, too goody two shoes. It was the right time to do it, and they executed it to perfection. Again, I'm not predicting that they're going to do a double turn between Seth and Drew at WrestleMania, because also, even if they executed their plan to perfection, did the fans really want it? Do they really want it? So, not easy to do, but it's possible. All right, and finally, I love being a patron. I recommend it to all my friends. Well, I appreciate that. P.S. Meeting LA Knight, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, Seth Rollins, and Becky Lynch was amazing. I saw that. Great pictures. LA was happy to have a chat in the streets of Perth, shaking our hands and grabbing a selfie. Seth and Becky were reluctant to talk to anyone at the hotel as they were getting in an Uber. Understandable. Grayson and Austin Theory were the nicest blokes ever. Lots of love. Callum from Newcastle. Yeah, you never know who's going to be open a conversation. You never know also what's going on in their personal lives. Maybe they're having a really crappy day. Maybe, you know, Seth and Becky had a fight. That happens. You know, you never know who's going to be in a good mood, be receptive, that kind of thing. But that's awesome. You know, that's a really, really cool thing that you met all those wrestlers in such a short time. That's good stuff. I mean, it's stuff you'll never forget. All right, Callum, thank you. Now let's get to a couple. I believe it's only, let's see how many we got. Let's see here. So let's talk to, I think actually this is a patron, but you didn't mark yourself as a patron. This is Hungry Pup. I believe you are a patron already, but let's go. Howdy. Love your show. We don't always agree, but I enjoy hearing your perspective. Well, that's all that matters. I don't expect everyone to agree with me all the time. Kind of boring, right? I hope that you're sitting there going, man, I wish I could debate him on this topic. He's so wrong about that. That's how I'm not ever going to give you an opinion that's not my own, that's not truthful, just to elicit that reaction. But my opinions should conflict with yours once in a while. Because you know why? Here's a secret. We're two different people. Yeah. And that's what's great. And as long as you enjoy listening, that's what matters. Okay. I know you like Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, and I've heard you call them good wrestlers. I'll ask you then, what makes them good? Pete Dunne uses finger torture. And that makes me cringe. How is that pro wrestling? Well, it's wrestling. You could say it's like partially MMA. I mean, manipulating joints. I mean, have you ever heard of Dean Malenko? He was similar in his style of wrestling, the man of 1,000 holes. It's just a facet of technical wrestling, one that is not often used. Now, I'm not saying he's a good wrestler because he uses finger torture. My point is that his style, which includes finger torture, is, number one, unique. You know, when you hear finger torture, you think of Pete Dunne now, or Butch. You think of him. So he's automatically differentiating himself for other wrestlers. That's good. And it's not often used. Technical wrestling, in chain wrestling more specifically, is a lost art form today, where it's all flip, flop, fly. How fast can we go? How many spots can we do? How many finishes can we kick out of? It's just a representation of the style that he has in the ring that I like and why I think it's good. Okay. So that's why I say it's good. I'm not saying, well, if you use finger torture, that means automatically you're a good wrestler. No, it's more of a larger picture type of deal of representing what they do in the ring. Okay. You said, I think they're boring and I hope they lose on Raw. I mean, they don't have exactly the greatest character depth. I'll give you that. My argument is that their matches are boring because entrances, moves, charisma, and lack of humor. I think, for example, A Town Down Under is not boring because their entrance is memorable, especially with Grayson jumping into the screen during the flex. The moves like the flip into the ring are cool, especially Austin sells. Grayson and Austin have chemistry and charisma seen at the Chamber, and they are hilarious almost every time on air. So in conclusion, are you agree that Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne should be pushed less than Theory and Waller, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate don't have a whole lot of charisma right now. At least they haven't been given an opportunity to show it, or they haven't shown it even when they were given an opportunity, right? Clearly, Theory and Waller have more character depth than do Dunn and Bate. No doubt about it. So right now as it stands, I think there's a better chance of success with pushing Theory and Waller because they are also not just have more depth, but they're more established stars. And they're both really good in the ring. Honestly, and both need wins right now. Both badly need wins. So yes, I do agree. That doesn't mean that I also can't say that Dunn and Bate are good. See how you can say both. You don't have to be on one side or the other. But yeah, cool. All right. Let's talk to Nick from Eugene. Nick says, am I the only one who feels the entire Judgment Day story has gotten really stagnant over the past few months? They had the R-Truth stuff to spice it up for a while, and that was fun. But I'm now in a place where I couldn't care less about the faction. They feel stagnant, yes. Not on the descent, but kind of holding steady. They haven't done a whole lot to push themselves forward. And I think they're in a waiting period, right? I think they're waiting to see what happens at WrestleMania, when likely they will lose the tag team belts. Rhea probably retains. Dom, I don't know if he's going to beat his dad or not or whatever, but there's a crossroads very close to to Judgment Day. So I would say just wait until after WrestleMania or at WrestleMania, and you'll get that additional push of the storyline for Judgment Day. The Rhea Becky story is building nice towards Mania after Monday's encounter, but outside of that, it's been bland as hell. Now, outside of the last few weeks, I would agree. But every week I've come on the Raw review and I've said, I think they're doing a progressively but slow, nice job with the story. It hasn't blown me away. It doesn't have me on the edge of my seat. But they have slowly but surely every week gotten me a little bit more interested and then a little bit more interested. And that's all I can ask for. So that's my opinion. I'm hopeful that Finn and Damian losing the tag belts at Mania will start the next evolution of the group in one way or another. And I think actually it may be somewhat smart of creative to let the dust settle on the Bloodline Cody stuff before making any other changes with Judgment Day. Up until this week, I was under the hope and belief that Damian might cash in on the IC title, pinning Sammy. Now with the continued involvement of Chad Gable, I don't think it makes sense. I think any other major story turn at Mania would just get swallowed up by the Bloodline. So whatever happens with Judgment Day will start to roll out beginning on the Raw after Mania. Yeah, I agree with that. Totally agree. I mean, not everything. See, even I get caught up in this. I think sometimes we look at WrestleMania as everything we think that should happen in one night. You know, and I'm guilty of it too, because it's such a big event. It's hyped. It's also the 40th one, so it's even bigger. And I think we need to take a step back and realize there's a whole nother life and a whole nother start on the backside of WrestleMania, starting with the Raw after Mania. So I think we need to have perspective of that. Not sure if a babyface turn for anyone is in the cards, but after Rhea retains and the tag titles are gone, there's plenty of mommy's not happy story that can develop. Yes, that's exactly right. That's kind of what I was also getting at too, with the tag titles likely being lost. Rhea's definitely going to retain. How does she deal with the Judgment Day? What's her, you know, she's going to criticize them. There's a lot that they could do, a lot. And I think you're going to start, again, not all happen in one night, and it shouldn't, but you'll start to see cracks in the foundation of the Judgment Day. Starting at the Raw after Mania. Thanks, Nick. And this is not it's an email, but it's a picture from Andrew about tagging the photo of your daughter and I and yourself. So very cool. Oh, wait a minute. Your daughter's got the Claim Your Kingdom shirt on. Oh my God. Lock her, put her in a dog cage until she converts, you know, just lock her up, you know, to have the authorities take her away. you've got a Cody Rhodes shirt on, which I mean, hey, yeah, at least yours is kind of cool. It's his logo with flames on it. And one thing I'll say, I mean, first of all, so very cool. I mean, I'm being kind of a half jerk, but I mean, that is awesome. You guys are bonding over it. And that's obviously more important than my issues with Cody. You know, he calls himself the American Nightmare. No one's ever even asked why. I know it's a play in your dad's dream. I'm the American Dream. Well, I'm the Nightmare. You're not the opposite of your dad. How are you a nightmare, by the way? Other than the fact that your babyface character is a nightmare, so maybe that's kind of apropos in a way that he didn't anticipate, you know? But how exactly is he the American Nightmare? In what way? Has anyone ever asked him that? What do you mean by the American Nightmare? Why are you a nightmare? Tell me. I mean, it's a serious question. Other than it just being a catchy little play on words of his dad's gimmick, what exactly are you the... How are you the American Nightmare? It's... so many questions. So many questions. All right, let's move on. And our next email comes to us from, let's see here, it is Tom from Vancouver. He says, just a quick message. The line about, quote, your favorite Stan from McIntyre on Raw was Eminem's song Stan. It is a very deep and disturbing song about an obsessed fan. Give a listen and understand how it ties perfectly in with what McIntyre is saying about Punk. Okay, I believe you. I didn't really follow Eminem past his initial burst onto the scene with, you know, The Real Slim Shady. Maybe, what was the one about the closet? I remember that one. What was the movie in? The Mile, not The Green Mile or something. Like, after that, I didn't really pay much attention. So I that one I don't remember. Okay. Rhodes' family beating the Shield was at Battleground 2013. Which saw Cody and Goldust with Dusty at ringside beating the Shield in the Authority. Thank you. I appreciate that. Also wanted to ask a question. In your rants, you speak at length about details being omitted and glaring oversights, like how it should be a common ground for there to be nobody ringside in Roman's match, but you also go into great detail about fantasy stories and Attitude Era finish rehashes. So in my question, what is more important? Do you think every detail and plot holes being accurate, or building a fantasy that makes fans invest and believe anything is possible? Thanks, Tom. Here's the thing. There's never, to me, a blanket rule that always applies every time, no matter what. But in a match like WrestleMania, if it's one-on-one, I generally like no interference. Okay? I generally think it's a bad idea to have any funky finishes at WrestleMania, because I think it kind of devalues what WrestleMania is about. You know? And I like logical booking. I don't like big plot holes. And I don't know how no one has yet petitioned any of Roman's opponents up from August 2020, when Roman won it, to now petitioning any management of saying, hey, Roman has a hell of a pattern of getting his bloodline involved to retain the title, and we all see it. It's on camera. Can we make sure that doesn't happen? Can you bar them from ringside, please? No one's ever said that, to my knowledge. You know, no one's, it's just so glaringly obvious that, and kind of stupid when you have talent who just never petitioned management to do that. And it should just also go without saying, if this is a simulated sport, that there should be no interference, but it's pro wrestling. Now, that's where your other question comes in. Well, what about fantasy and, you know, making fans believe anything's possible? Well, yeah, you can't have, I mean, that's why I'm saying this can't be a hard and fast rule all the time. Because it's pro wrestling, and the unpredictability does make it a lot of fun, but the predictable finish of having people interfere is not predictable anymore, or unpredictable anymore. It's just the way Roman has been retaining. But Attitude Era finishes, I mean, I'm not rehashing a lot of Attitude Era finishes. I'm just presenting finishes in the past that I think correlate to now and could benefit stories right now. I think that when it comes down to this, specifically this match with Roman and with Rhodes, I think that they're probably going to go with a bloodline match, a bloodline rules match, because of the rumors of Austin, which are all over the place on credible websites, with John Cena possibly getting involved. I mean, there's so many other things that can happen in that match towards the finish. It does warrant a lot of fun moments in that match. So we'll see if those come to fruition. You know, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too if you do it in a way that doesn't taint the victory that Cody Rhodes should have, where it's not like he needed help. It's just they needed to even the playing ground. And when things are even, Cody was the better man that night. All right. Final email. King Scully. He says, I've come to the conclusion that the tag team main event match at WrestleMania is going to be at least 40 minutes long. You are right. The entrances are going to take ages. Roman's entrance on SmackDown this week was roughly 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Cody's wasn't far off. I simply love The Rock's new mixed theme song. The entrance is epic, but we know his entrance is too long, or as long as well. Not to mention Seth. Add the extra time because it's WrestleMania. We could be looking at 15 minutes alone just for the entrances. I totally think that that's plausible. Yes, that's not a overdramatic analysis or prediction. That's very plausible. Yes. 15 minutes alone could be the entrances, guys. As good as this past week's Raw was, there were some things that crossed my mind as the show went on. The commentators and fans asked what The Rock whispered to Cody. It was easily lip read on my part. He said, tonight, I'm going to make you bleed. Simple. He did just that. Okay, yeah, I've heard that a couple times, and it seems that that makes total sense. I love it. The ending was absolutely brilliant. I can't remember the last time a heel whooped a babyface like that, and he did it while talking trash and hitting him with the trash can in corporate-style Rock fashion. Reminded me of when he gave Mankind a beating. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Good analogy there. I like that. The Cena Stone Cold Lori made it obvious that my WrestleMania prediction that I sent in the mailbag a couple of weeks ago looks likely. If you remember it, it's similar to the one you mentioned on the Raw review this past week. I absolutely believe Cena and Austin are going to get involved in this match if it's bloodline rules. Where was his shield, Seth? He got a Claymore 5 minutes before that happened. Plus Jay just celebrated in the ring, leaving Cody to get destroyed. Yeah. Again, this could lead to future tension between Seth and Cody. Absolutely. Not at WrestleMania, but post-Mania. Ricochet really got extra loving from Pat and Cole. It was like JR was with Stone Cold. I mean, acting like they'd never seen a reverse Hurricane Rana before or a Canadian Destroyer. Give JD some credit, too. He made them look amazing. Plus, why was he looking bad at shadowboxing before the match? Does Ricochet even throw a punch? Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, what's he doing shadowboxing like he's getting ready for the match when, in fact, he never throws a punch ever? It's a good point, you know? He never throws a punch. It's usually a forearm and then some flip-flop and fly maneuver. It's pretty funny. But they really, you know what? I want to criticize them for trying to put over him in such a overdramatic fashion, putting over Ricochet when they've seen him perform hundreds of times. But I also appreciate what the effort is and what the goal is to get over the talent. And telling us also that Ricochet's 3-0 over the last few weeks, that's important. Even if it is a minute amount of momentum, it's something for Ricochet to hang on to. So I, you know what? It was a little bit over the top for somebody like Ricochet, but I appreciate the effort, and I also agree with the goal that they're trying to achieve. So, all righty. Thank you, everybody. Let's, as you would imagine, we're about to get into those voicemails, those beloved voicemails. So let's do that right now and get to Mr. DJ Kuzmo. Let's go.
What's going on, WWE Podcast World? This is DJ Kuzmo back at it again on your mailbag show. Record to you live on a Wednesday morning on a very chilly, kind of cloudy Wednesday morning. Now let's get to your favorite show to come on every single week on the mailbag. And I'm talking about The Veer. My Hot Report took place this past Monday night on Monday Night Raw, live from Chicago, Illinois. And we did get an appearances of CM Punk and The Rock and Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre and Jey Uso and all the hosts of one of the best rosters on Monday Night Raw. But where were the Indusheer? Back again, a no-show, a complete no-show, after back-to-back weeks of matches from the Indusheer of my guy, Veer Mahan, Saga, and of course, the modern-day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal. Still no Indusheer. And I just hope that after WrestleMania, that my guys are not on the list to get released. My fingers are crossed. I'm very concerned that these guys don't get released. I don't know what the future will be for them after WrestleMania, but I just don't want them to be out there on that set of the WWE releases. Now, with that being said, and as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania 40, it should be an incredible time. Now, with that being said, this is your guy, DJ Kuzmo. Have a blessed week. Be kind to one another. See you soon, my friends, and peace.
Hey, DJ. Good to hear from you, buddy, as we close in on WrestleMania. The bar has been set so low that we're just hoping the Indusheer aren't fired. That's how far we've fallen. And here's my question to you. If the Indusheer are unfortunately on that list of the annual releases, which I think they would do this year, although under Triple H and new management, and it's not the Vince McMahon regime anymore, maybe they forego it this year. But if it's the typical Black Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever they call it after WrestleMania, and the Indusheer are released, what report are you going to have after that? I mean, you could just do an Indusheer watch to see where they land on what promotion, but you'll have to find and start to sadly think about already, you know, who you would like to supplant in their place. Who would you choose, or whom, how many people, team, single, women, men, in the place of the, or in the event that the Indusheer are released? You got to start thinking about that, sadly. But thanks, as always, DJ.
Hey, this is Liam Ward from New York, and based on what we've been seeing recently, you know, I'm watching Raw right now, and I really think I would hand the belt to Cody's mom, and, you know, he whispered something to his aide. It looked like he whispered that he's going to make him bleed, but I really think he's gonna switch up. I really do. But, yeah, I just wanted to give my take there. So, love the show. Keep it up.
Hey, Liam. Yeah, so it does seem to be landing on the I'm going to make you bleed. That, again, I'm not disputing that. That makes total sense. And it's a promise that would come from The Rock right now. And he followed through on that promise in a big way. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And, you know, I do. I'm very curious how The Rock is going to interject himself with Cody's mom at WrestleMania. Maybe he does follow through on that promise, too. You know, my thought is that The Rock beats Cody right now, or beats whoever. Maybe he pins Seth Rollins or whatever. Maybe Cody is pinned. And then he goes to fulfill his promise. And, you know, maybe Cody fights back and puts The Rock's blood on his belt and gives that to his mom. Maybe The Rock bleeds. That's also very possible. You know, I think that there's so many ways that they could go, guys. Like, this is a crazy WrestleMania when you think about it. It's bigger than any other year I can in recent memory, star power wise. Just a stacked roster with stars that have come up over the last 5 years, stars that continue to evolve. We have a world championship now. Roman Reigns isn't the only champion after a year and a half of that. So there's a lot to look forward to. New stars, big returns. This is going to be a hell of a WrestleMania, on top of the fact that it seems that they are really pushing the boundaries of what PG is now. It's like PG plus. So thanks, Liam.
At the French guy here, your current European champion. I've been looking into Drew McIntyre saying, Seth, you are not worthy of this title. As I recall, last week I said on the show, Drew, I'm talking to you, Drew. If you are listening to this podcast, say at one point on social media during a match, if you can, Seth, you are not worthy of this title. He did not say so during the past week on social media or on Raw, but I have good hope that this is the case, especially with Roman Reigns addressing Cody Rhodes, kissing babies, being a politician, because I can understand that as a common criticism, but it is very particular of this podcast. I don't listen to other podcasts, actually, but this is really hinting for maybe some wrestler saying or listening to the podcast. If you are, it's a pleasure to hear from you. No, not to hear, but to have you have listeners as well. And yeah, true, I am not convinced. I'm 50% convinced that some of the wrestlers are listening to this podcast, Drew McIntyre as well. Maybe 55% because he has this voice on the show, on the beginning of the show. And yeah, maybe this more probability of him listening to the podcast. Yeah, and that's all for me for this part of the podcast. And Drew, if you are listening, Seth, say at one point, Seth, you are not worthy of this title. You can say during a match, I will pay close attention until WrestleMania and even after. I don't think after if you'll win the title, because I think you will win the title. But I think that he is listening. You are, Drew, listening to the podcast. Maybe I'm just dreaming, but let's throw once again the bottle on the sea, to the sea. Drew, I also will be at Backlash. So you will be at Backlash, and I will see you say that you are not worthy of the title. But when you win the title, I will say you another magic word to say until you say, because I know you're listening. Maybe not, but that's a funny thing. That's a funny bottle to propose to see. Bye, guys. Have a nice week.
Hey, Alex, thanks for calling in. I am paying attention as well on Raw to see if he says it. You know, even if he doesn't mean he's not listening. You know, I don't think that's a definitive way to find out. I mean, he also probably is sitting there going, I'm not taking orders from fans. What do I owe them? But why do I owe anybody anything? He's a heel right now too. So like he's extra incentivized to not do what we want, you know, and he's doing a pretty good job of that. So again, I'm not going to depend on that to determine whether or not he listens. I will say that I think based on the name of our show, based on that Drew knows our show exists. I mean, you hear him at the beginning of the show. I paid him to do it. Who cares? He knows we exist, right? And, you know, I think that there are wrestlers who probably listen. I think there are. It's not unreasonable to assume we're in the top 30 of wrestling podcasts. And, you know, sometimes we creep into the top 20 and we got into the top 15 last year's WrestleMania season. Maybe we'll crack the top 10 this WrestleMania season. But we used to live in the top 50, then the top 40. Now we're in like the top 30, 35. We're climbing the charts, man. So I think that as you get bigger and higher, that draws more attention naturally. And it's possible. I don't think everyone, there are big names maybe that, or when I say big names, I mean like, I don't think The Rock's listening. You know, I don't think like CM Punk said he listens. But I think that I'm sure we've gotten some listens for sure. Absolutely. But we'll never know for sure. But I will be, you know, keeping an ear out for that line on Raw. But if he doesn't say it, I wouldn't get too disappointed because maybe he still listens and he just isn't doing what we want, which he has no obligation to. So, all right, let's get to our final voicemail and we'll sign off for the night.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. So I wanted to talk about this whole Rhea Ripley thing about, and I heard you talk about the whole thing about her sex appeal. So Ted and Becky talked about it as well. They're all, her interview, get kind of hype up her match with Rhea at WrestleMania. I don't really care about Rhea Ripley's body. I never care about these women, the women, how they look. I've always had an issue, not an issue, but just, I just never care what these people look like. Even as a 13-year-old, when I became, when I really became a wrestling fan, like when I was 13. And I didn't care about these women. Sure, I mean, sure, they were hot because I'm a guy. Of course, I would think so, but they weren't doing anything interesting on television. They were just showing their body, but they couldn't, they just never wrestled, and they had 5-second matches, which was how it was at that time. You know, was it the moment that I felt I took women's wrestling interesting and more seriously was when AJ Lee and Paige had their feud in 2014, or just AJ Lee as a whole with her whole character arc in 2012 that got me invested into a woman at that time. And then it just evolved in that time period with AJ Lee and Paige in 2014. And then when it hit 2015, forget about it. I was a women's division fan for life at that point with Becky and Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley and so on and so forth. Year after year with women debuting like Alexa and Carmella and Bianca, people from NXT and Ember Moon, and that's what I've been into the women's wrestling in 2015. It started off small, but it burst into something. It's fascinating to watch the women wrestle and tell stories and creating their characters, and they care about and then worry about the way they look. I mean, for God's sakes, Becky calls herself the man. So it's like it makes the women now are great for what they're doing. What Rhea Ripley is doing is kind of going backwards where it shouldn't be. She's calling herself mommy. She's saying she wants to always want to, mommy's always on top. That's such a sexual term to use. Saying the word mommy on live television is such a sexual thing to say on live television. I don't know why she's calling herself that. And she's just sexualizing herself on television, and I don't like it. So overall, I just wanted to bring that up, that I kind of agree that she, you know, go forward with the women's division, not backwards. That's what Rhea is doing, and which is unfortunate because Rhea is really good in the ring, and I enjoy Rhea, but this character of hers showing off her sex appeal is not what I expected what Rhea Ripley's going to do as a character. But I just wanted to bring that up, but that's it. Thanks for a call. Bye.
All right, Kyle. Hell of a way to end the show here, and I appreciate your comments. And I know I have a lot of people who don't agree with me and feel like I'm some kind of, I'm directing women how to act, that I feel they should be in, you know, some kind of, like a potato sack, basically, right? And they shouldn't be doing anything that shows off their body. No. I mean, they're doing a competitive sport. You're going to have to wear less clothing. So I'm fine with athletic wear. My issue, and this could really spin into oblivion, of which I will save this for an After Dark bonus episode in the next couple of days, but it spins into oblivion and into a darker place, a more regressive, not progressive, regressive place, when you make a sexual part of your character a focal point, when you make that overtly obvious what you're doing. Rhea Ripley is pretty. Okay, she has a sexual aura to her. She does. But when she emphasizes it and just tries, she shows fans that she knows that she is and tries to bring it out and makes it an actual significant part of her, not just a tiny thing, not a byproduct, not just, oh, I happen to be attractive, but I'm more about kick ass and busting ass. That's what Becky seems to be about. And that's what I actually appreciate about her character right now. She's not sexualizing herself. And I don't want to hear, by the way, the people who are saying, well, you know, the men, well, they wrestle around with no shorts and no, you know, they're wrestling around in their underwear. Yeah, okay, here's the problem. The product of pro wrestling is built for male consumption, and men are notoriously visual. If you didn't notice that, I'm not talking to you, Kyle, just the general public here, the general listening audience. And when you overtly present women sexually, men will look at that and say, huh, wow, yeah, she's wrestling, but damn, right? Their focus gets off of what we should be focusing on, which is wrestling, and onto the features that they are now telling you to focus on. And then they get angry when you notice. If you realize, noticing is the biggest sin you can commit, right? They do something that is clearly sexual, something that actually one of the detriments, and we look back in women's wrestling not too long ago, very sexualized. They were a joke, not taken seriously, bra and panties matches, pillow fights, live sex shows, literally. And then women's wrestling bursts out into the scene. Give Divas a Chance happens. Women's wrestling becomes serious again. Obviously, Becky and Charlotte and Sasha, all them, right? They all make wrestling relevant and respectable again for the women on top of, I mean, they trailblaze the whole thing for every woman that's there right now. And then you have characters now that are starting to regress. And it's not just Rhea. I mean, I pick on Rhea because she's the biggest star that's doing this. But I think it's kind of it's a trend I'm noticing just generally. And if everyone's like, hey, if you're sitting there going, well, it's women empowerment. How is it empowering women to have them overtly sexualize themselves, to objectify themselves to the male audience? Explain that again. So you're progressing and showing your liberation or whatever by then sexualizing yourself again and knowingly doing this in a male audience that will objectify you because you're telling them to? How does that work again? So my point is, yeah, Rhea Ripley is right now the leader of this, I think, in a way, because of her star power, and she's champion. She does like stink faces to people. She puts pictures out there knowing what she's doing. And yeah, fine, she gets all the likes she wants or whatever. Whatever attention she's seeking, she gets it. And the mommy on top thing, overtly sexual. She, is always got this kind of little twinkle in her eye. You know, she's always got this kind of, I'm a very sexual person type of vibe. And like, fine, if you are, then you are, but I don't need to see that in your wrestling character. How does that help you with a wrestling career exactly? Again, women's wrestling thrived when that stuff went away, and it has been progressing in spite of those sexual elements being removed. And women's wrestling can still exist with women, beautiful women competing, athletic women, badass women competing, when they don't make sexuality a part of their character, a part of their identity, a big part of it. So I'm the one who's actually advocating for women to move forward, while people who are claiming that they want women to move forward are actually supporting the regression of women back to sexuality and then covering it and deodorizing it with, well, this, it's just her being proud of her body. You're jealous. I love that argument. People are saying I'm jealous. Jealous of what? This has nothing to do with me. It comes back to just the sin of noticing. That's what it is. When somebody like does something and wants you to see it, but then you point it out and say, hey, wait, look over here. Look what that is. You just observe it. That's the sin. That's the sin. But I don't care. I mean, people can think whatever they want, but inherently they know I'm right. So sure, go ahead, Rhea, sexualize yourself. The rest of the women, and there's a lot of other ones that I could mention, are kind of doing the same thing. Go ahead and do it. But I think we know where this ends. We've seen it before. So I'll end on that note. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Consider going ad-free, if you don't already hate me, on patreon.com/WWE podcast. Go to Apple Podcasts. Of course, you can always subscribe there for ad-free everything as we close in on WrestleMania season. Great time to get involved on the show because we have a Discord server on Patreon as well if you want to chat with all of the other patrons. And it's just a great time to get involved. So free trials available as well on both sides for a week. All right. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.